should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I'm going to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I can play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to rattle the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. You know, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. Funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm gonna put games into their life that they think is gonna bring them so much pleasure that I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So, I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they've promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious.
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for carrying that cross for each and every one of us. And we just pray that you will be with us right now. May I just be a nail in the wall with your picture. May the Holy Spirit fill this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt like you might be in a bird cage? You know, Dave was talking about the team winning this week, and it was a very good feeling and a very high satisfaction. You know, felt really good about it. And then I was in a golf tournament yesterday. And the team I was with yesterday, we won the golf tournament. So as far as games goes, I've had a very good week. And I think you might have had a very good week as well. I mean, we can have good weeks, but still feel caged. Have you ever had that? Have very good weeks and still wonder, why I don't feel everything just like it should be in a very exciting week. And I think what we'll find out is, crazy thing. Anybody in here have pets? I had this cat. How old is our cat now? 18? 18 years old. And Wednesday night, I was tired from Tuesday night, and I had dozed off in my recliner. And I wake up, and 3 inches from my face is this cat just looking at me. And I know what was in that cat's mind. Are you going to pet me? Because if that cat could speak, it says, all I live for is to sleep, eat, and you pet me. And then when I do pet that cat, you can see that, like, everything in that cat feels good because the whole body starts to kind of move around and do this. And then she starts purring, and then she lays right down, and then she does that other thing again, goes right to sleep. But I learned in petting that cat that not only did it give her comfort, but it made me feel better as well. So I think why we're in a cage so often is we're not doing what God designed us to do. Some people are very fortunate to be in jobs where they work with kids all day long, and they can make a difference in those kids' life. Or doctors and lawyers who they help people out. But if you think that's the only concept where you can make a difference, you're wrong. Each and every day you come into contact with people, they're all around you. They're at your workplace. They're in front of you in the vehicle in front of you. Vehicles behind you. They're all around you. I never forget one day years ago, I had this big blue truck, and it had air horn on it. You ever heard of air horns on trucks? And there's this old car in front of me with this older lady in the car. And on the back of her car, it says, honk if you're a Christian. Well, I got a good set of horns. So when the light turned green, this little old Christian lady shot me the bird. And when I got up beside her, Sonny, where are you in a rush to get? I go, I'm not in a rush to get anywhere. I said, your bumper sticker says honk if you're a Christian. And then her face turned really red. She was really embarrassed. And then she apologized as much as she could. She's probably a strong Christian lady. But we all can show our colors every now and then. We all can do that. And truthfully, I wasn't any better. Because I waited until the light turned green. I could have honked when it was still red. But I didn't. I waited until it turned to green. Kind of test her. But what I'm trying to get at today is, we are around people all the time. And we can make a major difference in their life. And as much as that trophy means to me, it's not the trophy. It's the guys on the team that I come in contact with. One guy on the team, who I think of as my son, he had to put his dog down a couple months ago. And he loved that dog like it was his own. Me and my wife, we're going out. I was actually going down to Carolina to play golf, and they get a call. He had put his dog down that morning. He said, you know, I really want to get out and do something. Do you mind going play golf? And at first I told him, well, I can't. I'm already planning to go somewhere. But then Yvette says, you know, he called you because he's in need. So she says, you should go play with him. And so when I got there, see, a lot of you can say, well, you're going to play golf anyway. So you're going to have a good time anyway. But when I got there, he says, man, I really appreciate you. This meant a lot to me today. And just from him saying that, I even felt this wellness within me that I know only comes from who? God. So I learned that spiritual growth is not only in that book. It comes from touching people around you. The disciples wanted Jesus to set up a kingdom, didn't they? And yet, what does the Bible say that everywhere he went, what did he do? When he left the town, anyone who was sick, what does the Bible say? They were healed. Why would you want that to stop? But yet they wanted a king in this kingdom right then. And they didn't see what the king was doing. He was trying to show them your mission in this life is to touch those people around you. That's what he designed you for. That's what he created you for. That's what he wants you to do. And David, what did the two boys tell us in the parking lot when we left? Do you remember? To be part of the team. But we could not even win without them. Because they didn't think they were, how do you say that, Dave? I mean, they're great ball players. And it was just good for that. So the whole point of this today is it wasn't about the trophy. It was about the team. Here at church, it's not about just coming here every Sabbath and listening to wonderful music, seeing everyone. It's about when you leave this place, you are to be changed. You are to be changed to change those around you. And if you're not doing that, you're not living what God called you to do. You're missing out on that gift. That is a gift that God, I'm going to tell you what. It was that, what they said after the game, it gave me more energy than any trophy could ever give me. It gave me more energy and more encouragement than any trophy could ever give me. And then yesterday at the golf tournament, the microphone wasn't working too well, so the guy had called everybody in. But over close to me, I noticed this kid walking up on this hill, and you could tell that he had a disability. He's just walking back and forth, and he's talking to himself, and he's kind of loud, and he's kind of interfering with the person up getting ready to talk. And his mother goes, Tommy, shh, calm down. And even with his dysfunctions, he understood his mother, and he quieted down. But it made me think right there, right then. How many Christians are dysfunctional? And Jesus says, all you got to do is follow me. But because they're so dysfunctional, they can't hear. Because they don't understand. How are they going to get that understanding if the neighbor right beside them has it and doesn't give it to them? How are they going to get that understanding if the worker right beside them has it but doesn't give it to them? Jesus is calling you to help them. And you want to see your Christian growth grow? Start helping others. Everything about your life will start changing. The seed you plant doesn't only plant in them. But it also plants in you. And it grows, and it grows. And no matter what troubles come, and trust me, as you start planting seeds, the troubles are going to come. What's the easiest thing to grow? Weeds. Weeds are the easiest thing to grow. Plant any garden you want, put all the fertilizer in it, and usually the first thing it sprouts up is what? A weed. But we're to be the fertilizer of this earth. We're to make in between all the weeds, we're to be the fertilizer for those who don't want to be part of the weeds. We have to make a difference, and we have to go to Jesus Christ to make that difference. If you would, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, right there at the beginning, and my glasses are kind of fogged up or dirty, so I'm going to do the best I can. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, let me ask you something. And maybe Dave could help me. Why does he say if? Yeah, but does Paul have an if in his life? Do you think? So why doesn't he say, therefore, have the understanding that with God you will be encouraged and be united with him? It's still a choice, isn't it? But I will tell you this, if you decide to follow Christ, he will give you that encouragement. We use the word if so many times like it's not going to happen. If you want to come over this week, I'll be there on Tuesday. Well, that's usually like, I don't think you're coming, but if you want to, come on over. So we always use the word if, like it's not going to happen. But Paul knows if you're united with Jesus Christ, you will be encouraged. From there, if any comfort from his love, do you think Jesus Christ will give you comfort? That video was so good how he says, me and the Father, we want to be with him. We want to be with them because we love them. But he gave you that choice so you could choose if you wanted to be with him or not. If any calming, sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. And I'll tell you what, when your son or daughter, especially when they're little and they're acting up, sometimes it's very hard to show tenderness and compassion. Trust me, I've been there. And sometimes they're fortunate they didn't know what I was thinking because they would have ran for their lives. I never forget one day, Chuck was a senior at Shenandoah Valley Academy. And we got in some type of a little bit of an argument. I think it was a Sabbath afternoon, too, and he was all in his suit and his tie. And I was backing my truck up, and he was mad at me because of something I said to him. And then I saw him take his tie off and throw it on the ground. And I didn't realize I was in a bunch of stone. And I took that dually and I swirled it around. And when I swirled it around, you couldn't see my truck for 5 seconds because there was a dust cloud all around my truck. And I never forget what Chuck told me that evening. He said, Dad, I was fearful for my life when I saw that going on. But yet he says, I knew you loved me, and I knew why you were upset with me, and so I did what you asked. I'm glad our God sometimes doesn't have the temperament that I had as a father. But he's always there for us. Always there for us. Loving, tenderness, and compassion. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind. You know, if all of us are in one spirit and one mind, we are willing to reach out to those around us. And I'm not talking about this in numbers because I don't believe in numbers. But I do believe we need to start filling this place up to where we have to start searching for a new home. I do believe it's time for us to start filling the seats each and every week. And it's not because we're looking for numbers. It's because we're looking for bringing brothers and sisters to Christ. That night when we beat Great British Baptist, we took a picture with them. And they're a good group of guys. And they go, why do you want to take pictures with us? I said, look, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We might go to two different churches, but we have one Lord and Savior. As Seventh-day Adventists, don't look down your nose to any other denomination either. Don't look down. If they love Jesus Christ, let them love Jesus Christ. Help them to come to Jesus Christ. Because the first and greatest thing, what does the Bible say? Love your, as your. If you want to see growth, if you want to know why churches grow, it's because the love and compassion that those churches show. It is. Because right now, before they have the knowledge of Christ, what are they doing? They're searching. And let me tell you something. No English teacher has ever been my best friend. And I've had some great English teachers. But you know why they're not my best friend? Because I don't like English. It's just the way it is. People searching for Jesus Christ aren't coming just to get beat up with the knowledge. They're coming because they're lacking something else. You know what that something else is? It's you. It's your touch. It's your love and your compassion. They're kitty cats. They want to be petted. The touch makes the biggest difference in the world. How do you get to the touch? That's when you have to come to the Bible. That's when you have to die daily in self and tell Jesus Christ to take over my life today. I notice the days I do that, it seems like I'm going to attack the most. But those same days I'm attacked the most, seems like the easiest days I have. Because I know, I have this confidence that Jesus Christ is with me. Those days when I don't go to him, they can be really easy. But at the end of the day, I feel like nothing was accomplished. It's because I remembered, I forgot to bring Jesus with me that day. See, he opens your eyes and your hearts to everything around you. But Satan, just like the video says, he just wants to toy with you. He wants to play with you. He doesn't want you to see what you can do for Jesus Christ. But you can make a major difference in your church, in your growth, in your walk with Jesus Christ. Open the book daily. But before you even open the book, surrender your life to him. Ask him to come into your life. Fill you with his spirit. Fill you with his blessings. And tell God, today I want you to use me. And I'm going to tell you what. Be careful what you ask for, because sometimes he'll use you in mighty ways. But you know what? After he does that, you're going to have this wellness and this feeling that comes over you like never before. So this week, each and every morning, say, God, let me touch someone because you're touching me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you're all about. We're thankful that you sent your son to the cross for each and every one of us. And it was your blood that made us whole again. Lord, Satan wants to hold us down. But when you arose from the grave, you picked us up and said, no longer can he hold you down anymore. And Lord, I pray that that will go with each and every person throughout this week. That you would lift us up and may the glory of God shine through us. And may we bring others, other people, to the love of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together. Amazing.
Jesus to give you everything. Ask Jesus, what can I do for you? And if you find that service mentality, you will finally find what you were meant to do. If you can serve others, that seed that you plant with others will come back to you. And Jesus Christ will bless your life 10 times over. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray that you would just use us. May we be your vessels. And may we bring someone to Christ. In your name, we pray. Amen. Go and have a great week.